So do you see any hope coming out of these talks, or was it just maybe a delay tactic being used by Assad?
We went through two rounds of discussions between the Syrian opposition and the Assad regime's delegation, and it became very clear that the talks have stalled. The Assad regime refused to discuss any item on the agenda that dealt with a transitional government, that dealt with establishing a transitional governing body based on mutual consent that would ultimately lead to a Syria free of Assad, that would ultimately lead to a Syria free of foreign fighters, and that would ensure a pathway for Syria towards peace, stability, and to preventing extremists from establishing a stronghold in Syria that could threaten the region and that could threaten the international community. From the perspective of the Syrian opposition, and interestingly enough, from the perspective of many Western diplomats that were present, the Assad regime and its backers, principally Russia and Iran, are not budging. They are not willing to compromise. And unless the Syrian people are provided the necessary tools to defend themselves and to establish a balance of power on the ground, the prospects for a political process are not looking good.
How many refugee camps would you estimate there are? What percentage of the population would you say has been displaced?
Between refugees and internally displaced persons, we are looking at upwards of 8 million individuals out of a country of approximately 22, 23 million. You have hundreds of thousands of refugees in southern Turkey. You have hundreds of thousands of refugees in Jordan. In fact, Jordan's fourth largest city is now a Syrian refugee camp. You have upwards of 1.2 million in Lebanon, in tiny Lebanon. It's a destabilizing factor, and you have thousands of more families that are leaving Syria every day to these refugee camps because of the Assad regime's bombardment, the barrel bombs. They are launching 1,000-pound bombs, two at a time, in densely civilian neighborhoods. For example, in Aleppo, in fact, just today, we had a series of barrel bombing attacks in the Damascus suburbs by the Assad regime's air force. So this continued mass assault against the Syrian people is exacerbating the refugee crisis, and it's reaching Rwanda level. We haven't seen anything like this in our generation. And really, the conclusion after two rounds of discussions in Geneva is that the only pathway to stopping the fighting, stopping the killing, is to ensure a process that leads to Assad and his henchmen leaving the country and to establish a transitional governing body where both sides can find a real solution to end the violence.
Do you think America is doing enough to assist? Do you think Americans are paying enough attention to Syria?
Well, certainly you're seeing a lot more attention being paid to what's happening in Syria following recent congressional testimony that the growing extremist threat in Syria is a national security concern for the United States and for its allies, for its Western allies, and for its regional allies, that the humanitarian crisis, that the Assad regime's strategy of mass atrocities is both a moral concern and a strategic concern because it is destabilizing the region and some of our closest allies, especially in particular Jordan. So I think you're going to see a new round of policy deliberations at the highest levels in Washington. And, you know, many Syrians and many Syrian Americans are hoping that the United States government doubles down on its commitment to the Syrian opposition, given the fact that the Syrian opposition has demonstrated that it's committed to a political process and that it has demonstrated that it has the capability and willpower to fight al-Qaeda's affiliates in northern and eastern Syria, while the Assad regime increasingly is dependent upon Iranian-trained extremist forces.
Is this a revolution or a civil war?
This is a revolution. It started out as a revolution. And I just spent a few months down in southern Turkey, and when you speak to the refugees, activists, NGOs, humanitarian workers, you know, they'll tell you all the same thing. The fundamental principles of the Syrian revolution remain alive today. People are fighting for freedom, they're fighting for dignity, they're fighting for a better life for themselves and for their family, while the Assad regime is fighting simply to ensure that one family, the Assad family, remains at power. And it is a regime that is willing to burn the entire country in order to maintain its grasp and monopoly on power in Syria today.
How do you see the turmoil ending?
It's difficult. It's going to take a long time unless the United States, particularly the United States government, shows leadership, demonstrates leadership and willpower to force the hands of the Assad regime. And the only way to do that is to support the moderate elements on the ground that are defending the Syrian people from Assad's atrocities and that can create a true balance of power. Otherwise, any hopes for a political solution is simply not realistic.
Lastly, how do you see this conflict fitting into this discussion that's going on at USF about the changing nature of warfare and also the human dimension?
Absolutely. It's incredibly, incredibly relevant, incredibly relevant. I mean, we're talking about a complex fight. It is a revolution that evolved into an insurgency against an oppressive regime. It is a revolution that has now become part of a proxy conflict in the region. There are multiple fault lines. It is an insurgency on one hand, and it is a popular mobilization on the other. And then you have a regime that is using a hybrid of both asymmetric and conventional means to fight the revolutionary forces. And it's an issue of such complex dimension that it will impact American national security interests. And so as we discuss today issues on how small conflicts in the Middle East ultimately evolve into much wider conflicts, the role of the United States military in any policy decision weighs heavily in the discussions today here in this conference. It's important for students of conflict and complex warfare to understand that what's happening today in Syria ultimately will impact American national security interests, and probably in the near future. It's not just an issue of a civil war that's in a faraway land. We live in an interconnected, globalized community where extremist forces in the North Euphrates River Valley could easily become a major threat to Western and American national security interests. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in a few months, but certainly much sooner than many people realize. And the key is to partner with local forces to do it in such a way where American investment in resources and personnel is done in a way that does not endanger American lives, but maximize the chances to ensure a stable Syrian state that does not dissolve into a failed state, which will ultimately become a safe haven for chaos and the type of extremism that the United States will find ultimately itself dragged into the region.
Do you still have family and friends over there?
We still have family and friends in Damascus. A lot have left, but we still have some extended family in the Damascus area.
Are they safe?
They're safe as they can be. There are very few places in Damascus where you can truly be safe, mainly because the regime is indiscriminately shelling. And because you have checkpoints, it is a situation where no Syrian today can truly say that they are safe in any neighborhood because of the variety of Assad regime-controlled militias and because of the regime's indiscriminate nature when it comes to bombarding any neighborhood that it views to be opposing its attempts to remain in power.